I told you. He told you.
And we are here with the great Uncle Yammy B, part two, 3 years in the making. Where it all began.
Yeah.
We were his first. He poured out his heart and soul for hours and hours on end. Definitely, the art of telling a story is not easy.
Nah.
People cut long stories short. They don't have the emotion. They don't have the charisma. They don't have the sparkle in the eyes. Yami's got all of them. He ticks every box. He's a master storyteller.
The top psychologist in the world. They said, Yami, you have to be, because when your body language is on form, I can't find nothing. I said, you know why? Because when I talk to the camera, I put my heart into it. I speak like, the best way of doing it, Sean, I always worked out early on, is speak from, not apart from when I'm people pleasing, I'm lying for a few people, which I would have done when I've been out of my box. But Sean, you don't make me laugh, Sean. When I do that, when I go, you know what, Yami? Just speak from your heart, man. Nobody cares about being perfect. I don't care about being perfect. I never ever wanted to be perfect. I couldn't have been perfect. At the end of the day, when I got up there and I said, nah, I don't really care, man. Listen, when I catch him, I'm going to fucking lick him down.
People ask me all
pretending.
The time.
I'm not doing no pretending out here, Sean. I don't do it. It takes too long. You've got to remember what you said and all that. That's why they all make mistakes. Tell so many lies that they're going to go like, ah, you're going to trip up along the way. Anytime I say, yeah, but Yami, you said that back in the day. Yeah, I must have been out of my box.
Yami's got...
I said, judge me now, I'm clean.
I get messages. I get...
You got to get up early. Yeah, Uncle Yami, behave yourself. Yami, 3 years ago, you said that. Yeah, but when I look at that video, it's quite clear to see that I was out of my box. Man, I didn't know what I was saying, man. What are you talking about, man?
I get messages all the time. I'm starting a YouTube channel. How do I do it? Watch, give me advice, Sean. I say, look at Yami B. I send him a link. Look at Yami B. Every day he's up there. He speaks to camera.
And the wickedest thing is me, you, James, the whole crew knows I gave everybody a chance. I could have had 100,000 followers by now. You and I know that, Sean. The slow journey's going to win if I live. Yeah. If I live, Sean, we've won.
So
that's how I see it.
Part two. Today we're going to be talking about UK's most dangerous prisoners that Yami came across.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about Yami's most dangerous situations or dangerous situations you were of in prison. And then we're going to go over what's happened since part one.
Yeah. We've got to say that you rescued me, Sean, when I was homeless. You've got to bring those bits in. When I was stuck down in the crack house in Red Hill, where was it? Red Hill. And you was in Reigate. No, you were somewhere. No, you was in Guildford.
Yeah.
Somewhere like, remember, Sean, I've had some down. Sean, there's been some real, real sticky moments out here, Sean.
There's a lot to talk about.
You know what I mean?
So
Sean, remember to bring up that when you got homeless, Yam, because I thought that you was going to marry your missus and blah, blah, blah. And we'll say, yeah, I remember the night, Sean, you had to come and rescue me. You had to make sure that I was eating. You know what I mean? Those kind, you've got to bring them because it's true, Sean.
Definitely.
Remember, I was down and out, Sean. Yeah. And I had 6 weeks, 7 weeks there. Then Quincy and Tony had to come and get me from that house. Then I had to regroup again. Then I was going with this one and that one around the country. And then I got a place. And then I got this place and that place. It evened itself out. Yeah, we do all those things, Sean.
Right, let's get back then. We already covered your journey through prison. So in terms of most dangerous prisoners you encountered, who would you put on that list?
But it's too many to choose from, Sean.
Let's go with like the top 10. Most dangerous out of all of them.
There's so many ways to put dangerous people.
Yeah, like Maudsley, people like that.
Yeah. I put Maudsley in a different category because he doesn't come on normal location. With Robert Maudsley, is the only, I've got to be honest, Sean, I'm not going to hold back here. The one thing, the one or two or three things that I know about Robert Maudsley, right, is that what happened to him as a child, right, was bad. Many people will be able to resonate with that. When he became a rent boy, became a parent, so they say, right, that, I believe, is a follow-on from what happened to him as a little boy, right? groomed, abused, blah, 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 blah. Doesn't know, you know, people interfering with your sexuality, pre-puberty, after puberty even. He comes in and he believes that, all right, then that I get my gratification out of being a rent boy and being, you know, being there as a selling product for those that want me. Because that's what he's led to believe, Sean, right? Later life, time ticks on. As we all well know, we get older, we get maturer, processing starts, and then we start seeing it rather differently. Some people, me and you, James even, we might think, well, boy, they caused that. They made me feel that. Their actions made my reactions and actions to other people in the, you know, the early bits of my life. And then I saw it different. I saw it different, and then I started to kind of feel that, hold on, you lot made, he processed it and said, they made me feel like that. Hold on a minute. I was only doing it because I was led to believe. So now I'm after you lot. I say that out of all of those ones, 50 years in solitary the other day. Listen to this, Sean. It's deep. Why not be in it? If he's that bad, why not ain't he in Broadmoor? Why not? Why? He's not in the middle. So who's he a danger to? He's a danger to the kind of people that are in for crimes that were committed against him as a young kid. Right, Sean? So in his mind, the warp state of mind, so to speak, right, where it overcomes all other thoughts about himself, he says, well, I'll take it out on you lot. Because I've worked out that the reasons I became a rent boy, the reasons why I felt this and that down there, reasons why I felt all these bits about myself was because of people like you. Those are the facts, Sean. Like it or lump it, I'm afraid.
That's a brilliant.
Top psychologists, they'll tell you, they might not agree with Uncle Yami today, but I tell you, I say Robert Maudsley needs to be let out.
We had his psychologist on, Dr. Bob, a couple of months ago.
Did you, Sean?
Yeah.
I missed that.
And he said he was making tremendous progress. And because he was making so much progress with him, with Maudsley, they shut him down. They wouldn't let him treat him anymore.
But you say to me, Sean, who's the risk to, apart from those people? What would the difference be for when you're coming out on a risk management plan for the crimes you're in, robbery, burglary, murder, gang culture, drugs, blah, blah. What's the difference with his thing can't be managed in the community then? Because then it means that the only people at risk, so it's proven on paper, are the kind of people that did the things to him that...
Dr. Bob agrees with you. He says the prison needs a boogeyman. So the progress they were making with him was going against that philosophy.
I say to you, the bits where they said he ate the brains out of my man, I think it was Swellside or the other place, didn't happen, Sean.
Really?
They made that up. He didn't eat no brains. Stabbed someone in the head, probably, allegedly. But in reality, cannibal, eating the brains and all. Those bits are fictitious. As far as I'm concerned, Sean.
But they've used it to their advantage, the prison. Did you ever come across him in the system?
Well, way back in the day, I would have been just going to Aylesbury in 1982, 83, as a 15, 16-year-old. And Robert Maudsley, I believe, was on the hospital wing in Brixton. Around about that time, or somewhere around about that time. So I never got to talk to him.
Mm.
But I can remember seeing him, yeah, when I was a little kid. So he was away from the crack of dawn. His name was ringing a long, long time. In the early days, he was on normal location, Sean. He was on all those wings. He teamed up with, what's his name? Not Smitherman. Was it Smitherman?
Can't remember.
The one with the break where they stabbed the kid, they killed the alleged sex offender. Was it Smitherman? He had a codee on that one.
I can't remember the guy's name.
The guy's name, but there's two of them. Yeah. They went in Soho. So it's a normal location at that time, right? So again, the person that got murdered was what?
Yeah, exactly.
A murderer of children, a sexual offender against children. So you've got to work out, top psychologists, clinical, they will work out, say, Maudsley, in his mind, saying he's worked it all, Sean, no matter which way he works it all, he's joining the dots in a way that he's joining it, I'm afraid. It's one track. First bit, that bit, that bit, and that bit. But in the end, he says, yeah, I know what happened to me now. And he is putting the blame there. Well.
Makes sense to me.
To me, there's worse of people than him out there, Sean.
He's cleaning the system up. So you said he was outside of what you categorised as dangerous.
Because, Sean, I've got the psychologist, the clinical psychiatrist, mad, bad and sad principal. We know that my case, they classified me as sad due to the upbringing there. Evil, bad, mad, dangerous, blah, blah, blah. Look, mentally unwell. Robert Maudsley, right? I don't believe people like Belfield, Sweeney, Pitchfork, amongst other ones as well that we talk about on Yammer BTV. I don't put them as dangerous. I put them as one-dimensional motives, hatred of women, children, easy targets, cowards.
Cowards, yeah.
What I class as dangerous men, right? I would put them in the criminal fraternity that I met over a number of years. I put, you know, the baddest men, I'm on record for saying it, Tony Argent, my brother, John Gray, my brother back in the day, Gary Nelson, Warren Slaney, Kevin Lane, all the rest of them I've called on order, Matthew Thomas, all those dangerous men, win, lose or draw, turning up when the chips you could lose. If you two lot bump, those 10 that I'm going to name or I've named in previously, when they bump into each other, you know there's a chance that you can come unstuck. You're dangerous because you're treading ground. A man like me, I'm thinking, I ain't really going to go in on you lot. I'll rather wait a little bit. I'll have to catch you another way. Because I know them guys, they're going to be turning up and at all cost and win, lose or draw. Yeah, you're going to kill me. I know you are. Well, I'm going to kill you too. I'm turning up anyway. Win, lose or draw, Sean. That's the way the game is. Dangerous men, dangerous are the consequences. The outcomes might not be as easy as what some people do with the Belfields and all. You're taking on vulnerable targets. In reality, sexual desires, vulnerable, easy take on, strangle them. You're not going to get much of a fight from the victims you're taking on. These guys that I talk about, they're going to meet everybody head on. So they are the most dangerous men because they're prepared to die because they know that you can do what they can do. And I know that on certain days it can go either way. That's what dangerous is, Sean.
So what happens then if two of those most dangerous go up against each other? Have you got any stories of that?
There's when two, you know, the famous story is good point, Sean. When two killers meet, you know, once Johnny Dunford once said to me, Spencer O'Shaughnessy was there as well, right? Who was there that day in Belmarsh? We was on because I used to wrestle with my little brother Spencer. He was bigger than me, stronger as well, but I loved him. Right, Johnny Dunford said, "Yammy," because we was wrestling, Sean, and it was going on for ages. I was about 30 and he was about 21, but he's taller, the greatest centre half I ever saw, Spencer and Sean. But you know when people get picky, Sean, and you start wrestling on the landing and it goes that way, but it's not for real, but you know, you're testing out, you're stripping. Johnny Dunford was there in the back room, but no one won, man. And then I started to cheat later on because I never got the victory, right? And then Johnny Dunford went like that. He goes, "Yammy, you know the rule, my boy?" He said, "When two killers meet, no one wins." How about that one, Sean? Why? Because two killers meet, you've got the same ideas, the same ideology. I don't want to lose. I'm not going to lose in front of a crowd. Because when there's a crowd there, Sean, for some reason, no, everybody takes it a bit more personal. If it was in the cell, right? if I go into a settle and I wrestle with a man and I fold him up and no one saw, he could kind of, or he folded me up. All right, you've done me today. All right, cool, 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 cool. That's all right. But the minute there's a crowd there, Sean, you're thinking what he's thinking and they're thinking, what, my pussy or something? Hold on a minute. No. So that means then you're prepared to kill everybody on the basis of what everybody else thinks about you. But if they wasn't there, you wouldn't be thinking of doing it.
Mm.
Reality. That's the reality. Johnny Dunford says to me, Yami, when two killers meet, no one wins. I went, huh? He was a teacher for me back in the day, right? And Russell McVicker said the same things to me. Paul Tinnis and Tony Argent said, they all said it to me over the years. They said, Yami, because when they're going to fight people, Sean, I said, boy, but that's an easy one for you. No, Yami, nothing's that easy. Because they're taking on targets that it could, they're not underestimating. They're saying, well, boy, if he, my man's got proven history for doing people. So he might find the answers with me. I'm not going to walk in there, but I say to you, Tone, look, John, I say, look. Yeah, but I'm expecting you to win that one there. From Yami's eyeballs looking in. Yeah, but Yam, yeah, it could be that. But I can't look at it that way.
Mm.
I've got to look at it that he's going to take me out, mate. So what have I got to do? I've got to find the answers. It's a terrible environment, Sean.
So have you got any stories of when two killers did meet? What the beef was about?
Yeah, I have. Once in Long Larton, right? Oh, one of the guys, sorry. When, right, so the kind of thing that can happen. Two men, one from West London, one from Bristol or somewhere like that, right? They catch up. The man from outside London keeps digging out the man from London day to day. He's doing a life sentence, my one, right? So he's got to be careful about his parole. He's got to be careful because anything violent, you're not going to get your B cat or C cat or D cat because he's quite smart. He does really mixing, does his bird easy. You know what I mean? Don't want it because he's aware I've got to move correctly in here, otherwise I ain't going to get out. I've been away since I was 20 years old, mate. It's 15 years later now. You know what I mean? He's smart, Sean. So much as you can take from a man. Digging you out, people are listening and all that. Ah, pussy hole. Hey, listen, come down. On one day, he's not having it. Yeah? Two killers, right? So they go downstairs. So everyone's there. It's like the gladiator arena of blood seed. It comes down, Sean. Everybody's watching. God, man, you don't want to watch everybody die and all that. And all that. I'll give you a story in a minute. When I had to do, I didn't want no one to die, Sean. Sean, he went like this, look. He went. So they started fighting and all that. My boy from West London said, nah. If I'm going to go all out, if I've got to make this move here, I've got to make an example so people leave me alone for the rest of my sentence, mate. I'm not no punching bag. I'm not no victim. I'm not going to let you talk to me bad and violate me in public every day. So I've got to stick up for myself, man. I've got to live here. I don't want, because no one's going to even think, oh, boy. Because it becomes a game in those categories, especially in the Cat A, Sean. There's been many times when a man walked past me, he says something, right? He says something, Sean. I might get a last word in on me, right? But remember, I'm probably the wrong one out of all this because I probably owe him, right? So he says something. You know, George Constantino said to me a true thing the other day. He goes, Yami, I used to do the same as you. When certain people come out certain days and they're looking out the corner of your eyes and they're looking at you, but you can see them looking. Loads of people would look and go, who you looking at? I learned the art of war a long time ago. When they're looking at me, I go like that. I'm thinking, you're ready today. You're ready. So that means I'll wait till tomorrow morning. I'll be ready then. And then I'll be looking at you. I'm not going to, no, Sean. I'm not going to react just because you're ready today. So I'll put my head down, but I know you're looking. I'm thinking, yeah, you woke up feeling what I did to you yesterday and the day before. We'll do all that. But I'm not looking at you. Because for you to be looking at me in that way, that means that you're ready to war today. I ain't really ready to war today because I've got to go and get things from over there. I've got other things going on. But I'll put you back because you let your hand out to Uncle Yami. Cool. Everything cool. All right, next morning now, I come out the door, Sean. Now you ain't looking back at me. No, Sean, reality. I'm ready now. Why? Nah, you know, you're not going to look at me. because you know that I'm ready the way that you was yesterday. It swings and roundabouts, Sean. You know what I mean? People take those things to bed in those jails. They go to bed at night. Any crossword in that kitchen when you're cooking, education, on the exercise yard, one word, yeah, everybody's walking. You might be walking around with someone. And they say, yeah, but anyway, what about that money there? But, everyone said, well, I don't even talk to you like that, yeah, me. But I wasn't really too bothered about it until you lot said something. Now you've mentioned it. Now I've got to go back and... It's a sense of belonging, Sean. The moral codes of the jungle, which is a load of bullshit. You know what I mean? That I would have lived by. Imagine, I never wanted to kill anyone. Mm-hmm. But you feel like you would have done just so that you lot are happy. Mm-hmm. I'll kill you all then. If that's the case, if it makes you happy, yeah, you'll be killed. But after you've done all that, all the years later, they're going to go, oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that, yeah. It's not really going to matter, Sean. Mm. But at the time when you're living in it, it's very, very difficult.
It's intense.
That war that day with my man, right, it became a crime scene.
West London guy.
The West London guy. Sean, he went like that. The West London guy writ him off. They made it a crime scene. They got all the bits around. The thing was locked up for about 3 to 5 days, right? Blood. They come in the local police station. It's a crime scene. But the majority of times, nowhere, it's not in the public interest to get charges or do we bring that, because you're already doing life. Big tariffs. It's not really going to serve the public in that way. But they both went. One was injured. You got to live with that. So when you go round in that cycle, Sean, in the categories, when you turn up somewhere else, how I used to look at it, don't, it's not how I look at it now, but when they turn up somewhere else, I think, you. Yeah, but you got done that day. A defeat means everything in there. When you've got to take a bad word or your ego's belittled and how you put yourself up there in the criminal fraternity and the hierarchy that I was a killer and I was the greatest and I was this and that. When you get a defeat, it's very, very difficult, Sean, to come back from.
Was the Bristol guy humbled?
He was humbled. And me, I don't really want to say it, Sean, but I would use those weaknesses as a chance to say, yeah, well... Because some people recover, most of us, Sean, when we get defeated, we think, yeah, but that was yesterday. That's not today. When I see you again, it could be a different outcome. Not promoting any violence or nothing, Sean. But when you see weakness, it takes over a man when he loses. Unfortunately, you know, being yummy back in the day, I would have said, yeah. Why were you saying that? Because he knows I was there in his darkest hour. For his moment of weakness, the things that he's going to go to sleep with, the things that I would go to bed with, Sean. Not you, maybe, Sean. I would lie there certain nights. I didn't like the way he said that to me. That one hurt me there. You know what? Next time I see him, it's not going to be that, you know. I ain't really going to have all that. Fuck that. I'm going to come back. I'm going to say, you know what? Nah, you're not getting, you know, but other men go like, I got defeated. I lost that one. Everybody was there. Your standard goes down a little bit on what you thought about yourself, unless you can be resilient and come back from those things there. But a defeat to most people, even in big fights, some of the hardest men that ever lived, when they get a defeat, they're not the same people after, Sean.
That's what I was going to ask next. So when he got out of medical, the Bristol guy, did you see him again?
I saw him in another jail.
And was he still acting the way he was, or was he different?
No, he wasn't, Sean. Nah, he wasn't.
But does that mean that people then were picking on him?
Yeah.
Because he'd shown weakness by getting beat by the other guy?
Right, because he set it, didn't he?
Yep.
He set it up, and you get normally, you know what, Sean, over the years, I normally realise and notice that people that set it and start it are the ones that come and start. You're better off saying nothing. You're better off. I always play that fool to catch wise me. No, I'm not ready today. Nah, man, I don't really feel like it. Because you and I know, Sean, right? You've lived that life, little bits and bobs. We know that when it comes down to the crunch, right? When killer meets killer, the only thing that ever mattered, sadly, in the jungle. That's why I always say I got no remorse for the jungle, Sean. Because all I'm thinking about is, it don't make no sense I talk about it. It don't make no sense I get gassed and start telling him. What matters most is when I see you, all I've got to do is aim for the spot. Because I know that in history, you lot never gave nobody no chances. You never, man. Your victims, you never gave no chances. You caught them unawares. You was the one on the front foot. You got rid of them in the way you did. It wasn't a guns at dawn. You know, the pirates. You remember back in the day, Sean, when we take 12 paces back, when you walk that way, I walk that way, and we turn around and we fire, we see who wins. It's not that kind of party, Sean. Right? But in my book, that's the fairest way to do it as a man.
Yeah, I saw people put things in motion and it backfire on them. Mm. Have you got any stories of that?
I've got too many, Sean.
What's your longest one? We like long, we like long ones.
Sean, look, a man, right, he comes down, right? So we're in the case. Won't say who it is, but a man is cooking up the fat, the oil, right? He's been going around for the whole week saying, yeah, yeah, don't worry, when I'm ready, you're telling everybody what you're going to do. Yeah, I'm going to get my man. No, you ain't got, because you got disrespected in public. Yeah, and you're going to bed at night. But you say, yeah, my time's going to come. But you're not actually ready on all the days you said you was. But one of those days, you might be ready. Many days along my lifetime journey, I woke up on certain days, I weren't ready. But that might be the drug cycle. But then when I woke up and I was clean, I was saying, no, I'm coming out to kill you all today. But listen, anyway, Sean, it goes down. He says, yeah. So he's told everyone what he's telling them, right? He's given it all the gas job, all the talk, right, Sean? And he turns up 7 days later, cooking up the oil on the stove in the kitchen, right? So you got all the brothers in there. You got all the other, all the snakes in there. Yeah, you're right, colour. Yeah. Everything cool. Yeah, really, they're not your friend, you stupid idiot. Right, da-da-da-da. Why? What, he's cooking up ghee, you know? So then he leaves the kitchen, goes upstairs, and he says, yeah, listen, my man's cooking up ghee down there, you know? It might be for you. Is it? Da-da-da-da-da. I say, Ron Sean, reality. So I'm looking, I'm saying, yeah, it's probably that. But the only thing is, you let everybody know that you was boiling it. And you told everybody the whole week. Yeah? So, because you have to make a stand. Yeah, I'm a bad man. I'll get him one day and blah, 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 blah. What they did. So, when they seen what he's doing, he's made the fatal mistake of thinking that I'm a bad man. Most of those guys that are around me, they're not really my friends, but they might be his friends, but I don't know if they are. You haven't really done the maths properly. Yeah? So they've reported that back to him upstairs. So what they've done now is reversed it. Before the thing got boiled, they've taken a pot off and thrown it over him. That's what I'm saying, Sean. Because when you're boiling ghee or fat in the category A's or B cat, certain places where you can cook, everyone's looking at the stove. Because you're not really a cooker. You don't really come in here every day. So when you're boiling up the fat, everybody's going to be on red alert. Is that me? What about my thing? There's about 30, 40 people in that kitchen thinking, well, it might be that thing from 40, 100 years ago. It might be that my guy, I murdered him. Their family might have got in touch. Some might be here on me. Everybody's got the same things going on in their mind, Sean Atwood. They're all going there to think, is it me? Because you've all done wrong things and bad things where comebacks are quite possible. The paranoia in the jungle, in the category A's. When you lie in your bed at night and you're doing the math, Sean, you do that, look. Might be. I should do it this way, Sean. Might be. Might be me. But what are the chances? My man doesn't know that one. That's why intelligence is a big thing, right? When you do all the maths and you got the files, right? So to speak, right, Sean? So you go, look, Sean. So the likelihood, that might not be me. With my man. There's a possibility it might be me, so I won't be, you know what I mean? You've got to balance it all out, but you still got to be prepared. Otherwise, you're going to get hurt. So, and hurt he did. They all burnt him up. The screams was there. He run down the landing. The screws were laid. They heard all the screams. Everybody run up there and beat him more with the iron legs. Battered him. Everyone screaming. The screws were standing at the bottom. And he was on the two, Sean. Right? Everybody knows where I am. So he went like that. Look, the screws, four or five of them. I was looking on the ones. They're all at the bottom of the stairs. Yeah, the bell's gone. Yeah, the screams up there. But no screw went up there to answer any call. Pick up the pieces at the end, get the stretcher, and then go and get him then. Pick up the pieces afterwards. Gordon Bennett, talk about saving lives, mate.
So in terms of prison intelligence, how was he at fault? What should he have done?
What We can't promote the skills, Sean.
No, we can't promote the skills.
We can't promote Yami B. Promote Yami B's skills, survival skills.
If you were his advisor.
If I was his advisor, what I would have done. Sean, no, it's reality when you're in there. You get found out in those places, Sean Atwood. He comes down, I would have said, I do a lot of gamesmanship. Sometimes I would talk, Sean, but I don't really mean it. I might be kept playing fool to catch wires. So I might throw a red herring out. Say like that, go like that. Yeah. To see, come in, Mum, you're welcome. Throw a little red herring out, right, Sean? To catch, see what they're saying back. Yeah, I heard my man was saying this and that. Where's my man? I heard he's gone to education. Where's he in the dental? What, is he in the hospital? Or has he gone for a healthcare appointment or what? Yeah, but I don't really know. So then they say, no, he just popped down to... Right, I know where he is now. Because I didn't know. Mm. Red herrings to find out things, right? My way, when I'm serious, Sean, if I know it's really detrimental and consequential to my livelihood and my safety, I ain't going to tell nobody nothing. My view is when you're serious,
yep.
Don't say nothing.
Yeah.
Got to get the job done. Sean, either you leg it, go under Rule 43, protection, right, when it's on top for you, or you face the music and dance.
Don't show your
it's
cards.
It's not much difference to the things that you put your victims through, Sean. Many men struggle when it's their turn to face the music, to feel exactly like some of our victims felt. At the hands of men like me. And one of those days, when I first come out, Sean, I've ever told you this about when I got robbed.
Mm-mm.
No, Sean. When I first come out, when you done part one with me down at Mills, right? Down in, where was it, Kilburn, West Hampstead, when you came down for that 4-hour thing. I was drunk, right? My nephew, Nick, when I had the other channel, It Is What It Is TV, until we all fell out of it, like we all do, Sean. Right? So I'm swaggering down the road.
What, after the podcast?
Not far after the podcast, like a couple months, because I wasn't, remember, after a year, I was off license.
Yeah.
I'm swaggering down the road, Sean, drunk.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm hitting that bit and that bit, but I'm trying to stand up, I'm laughing, blah, blah, blah. Sean, when I reach the deeper end of the West End of London, I see three figures outside this chip shop, right? Young guys, 19, 20, look like me a little bit, like how I used to look. Right, Sean? I locked eyes, I was drunk, Sean, but I thought, you know what? They just spotted something in me. They spotted that I look a bit vulnerable. Sean, we like that. Imagine that, Sean, that. I walked past, I thought I was trying to stand up straight, but I was wobbling, Sean. So, before I knew it...
And what else happens in that?
Burn a saint and altar card in your hands, and you actually take an oath.
And what is that oath?
The oath is, if you violate what you know about this life, betray your brothers, you'll die and burn in hell. It's like saint is burning in your hands. And do you accept that oath? And I said, yes, I do.
Did you meet him, Sinatra?
Many times, yeah.
What was he like?
Great. I mean, I enjoyed it.
Constantly be thinking, wherever you go, that somebody one day may tap you on the shoulder. What they would see is revenge for you breaking the code.
I know that that's a possibility, yes.
I mean, to me, it would be ridiculous to assume you hadn't. You can't be a mafia captain for that length of time in charge of that number of people and not kill people, can you?
Well, let me put it this way. You know, it's a violent life at times. Mm. And if you're part of the life, you're part of the violence. And yeah, as a captain, I was given an order, told what to do, I did it.
What do you think happened to him? There's two schools of thought. He hung himself, or he was murdered.
Not only did I spend time in that prison, I spent time on that tier.
Right.
Because I was in lockdown. I mean, all those things happening at one time, the cameras are gone, the guards fall asleep. It doesn't happen. When I was in there, they were watching me 24/7.
Two of them grabbed one arm, Sean. We're just helping him. He's drunk. Let me get him home. And do it. I thought, oh no, I'm in serious trouble here. I said, Jeremy, what are you going to do? You ain't got no weapon. You're not a criminal no more. You've got the injuries. What else are you going to do, Yami? Good and better. I wish I had a weapon that day. But Sean, listen. So they got me. They're marching me back down the road. Yeah. At the same time as they're talking to me, going through the pockets. And I'm thinking, it's a drunk man's trick. When I was younger, I did the same thing, Sean. Oh, no. Talk about karma, isn't it, Sean? Deep. So I'm thinking, Paddy, there's a police station there. But I had to leave that. I could have screamed for help. Left that. I could have said, I tried falling down, right? But they're holding me up. But it wasn't working. So I'm thinking, Yami, listen, you ain't got no weapon. You can't really do anything. If you struggle, if you go and throw a punch and you go and do that, right, Sean, you go and fight back, you might die out here tonight. And you're not really ready. So I'm doing the maths like I always do. Thinking, well, hey. So what I've done is, yeah, we'll go over here. I said, nah, let's go in the middle of the road. So we're in the middle of the road. No one helped me, Sean. I lie down in the street in the middle of the West End, like that. Not one person came to my rescue, Sean. So go like that. So I'm going, yeah, but I'm drunk, but I still can see what's going on. I'm thinking, I kind of felt terrified, Sean. I felt like I was being violated. I felt like I was a victim. For a few occasions in my life, I felt like I was being kept hostage. I felt like there was no way out. I was thinking, I ain't got a weapon. I'm outnumbered. These kids ain't taking no checkout here, Sean. I'm in the middle of the West End, in the street, Sean. And they go, yeah, well, anything else? I goes, yeah. But if I'd have been the great Yami B, right? If I'd have had a weapon, they would have come unstuck. I went, yeah, I got something down. So I was playing a little bit. I was thinking, nah, you're amateurs, you lot. Because if I was really serious, if I had a chance, yeah, what you got down there? That means I would have had a chance to pull out something, Sean. Half hour, they held me hostage, Sean, in the middle of the road. What? No one came to rescue me.
Half an hour
in the West End on camera, right? Lost a credit card and my mobile phone, the one that I used to phone you on my first year of being out. So when I got up off the floor, I was thinking, right, so now you got to walk home, yeah. No money, no card, can't phone no one. You just been robbed the same way that you robbed everybody else for all those years. You know what it feels like. But you know what, Sean? I felt kind of cool. I thought, you know what, Yami? Good for you. Now you know what it feels like. I was realistic, Sean. I was thinking, you know what, pussy, old boy, if I ever catch you again. But in my mind, I was thinking, no, I'm not going to get the ump over being violated, Sean, because you spent your whole life doing that, right? So when I was walking up the back to Mel's End, right, where you interviewed me the first time, I see sirens, blue lights, flashing past me. I was thinking, looking like that. I'm thinking, where are they going? So I carried on walking, Sean. Walking about 8 minutes later, 10 minutes later at the most, right? The same police cars were coming back the other way on the side of the road that I was on, right? They all pulled up next to me. Hold it there, please, sir. I said, yeah. So I started walking towards them. They said, listen, we saw on camera that there's a possibility that you might have been robbed, right? I said, He pulled out a card with my name on it, Samsung, blah, 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 and my mobile phone, which was a Galaxy at the time, right? I got an iPhone, right? Sean, I said, yeah, that's mine. I wanted a phone back, Sean, because I didn't have no backup, because I didn't have nothing on program or anything. I said, yeah. He goes, could you escort us to the police station? I said, no, I can't. He goes, well, you can't get it back then. I said, well, I can. I said, but leave it, because I ain't going to no police station. Because obviously, they've seen what they saw on camera, gone down the road, it's West End, that neck of the woods, and they've stopped and searched them, and they've got it in their pockets. Right, Sean? So I walked back up. Boy, when I got home, Sean, same house that you came to, when I got in, she said, why? What are you doing coming home so late? I said, no, I lost my phone and my credit card. Because you liar. Another lie. Been doing all this and doing all that. I said, nah, I lost my things. I haven't got it. Wait, search me. I haven't got them. 4 o'clock in the morning, right? I'm sleeping. She wakes me up, my missus at the time. She says, yeah, Samson. Yeah, the police from West End Central have just rang, right? Or West End, one of those police. They said, yeah, could Yami or Samson or you come and get his phone and card? Because it's on camera, blah, blah, blah. I don't think they got charged or anything. Sure. I said, listen, I'm not going to no police station to go and do anything, right? So my missus went down there and got the phone, right? And the credit card. She goes, oh, yeah. Oh, it's the first time you ever told me the truth. I said, all right, cool. Everything cool. Just letting you know. But the moral of the story, Sean, is that I felt like a victim. I felt like I had no choice. For the first time in life, I didn't have the answers when you're challenged. But when I looked at him, I said, but ain't that the way that I used to behave? Where you think that people are easy targets. Where you think that you can just come and take liberties and just violate people's lives, take their livelihood, their phones, their laptops, their money, their credit cards, and put them out of action. Sean, for the first time in life, I knew what it felt, and I knew also what everybody else felt after suffering at the hands of me. Did I have any argument, Sean? No, I didn't. Not inside myself, because that's the kind of man I am, right? I realised that. It's time and I thought, good, Yami, God's lesson. I think it's myself. Sean, it feels bad. You feel victimised, but sometimes you've got to live to fight another day. There's nothing you can do sometimes. If I'd have started fight, I might not be alive today. I met kids. You know what I say, Sean? I think some of the older women, older men from back in the day, I met loads of them, sergeant majors, old women from around the corner, they were braver than some of those people that are around here now, because you're not going to come and rescue anyone. You're not going to try and prevent or help anybody that's in the throes of being robbed or being attacked or anything. The lives have changed since I was growing up. But I always respected them. They had more bold, the older people back in the day, the moral codes. And in their world, I'd say, no, we won't stand for that. Now people are scared, Sean, to do all that. Imagine being in the middle of West End. The other guy that was getting attacked, that young kid, no one got involved. No one. Oh, leave it. I'm not getting involved. I might die for this. That's where change is apparent since the first time I was out and this time I was out. Nobody cares, Sean. I care. Because if I see someone like I did for that little you where he was in the street and I thought, let me give him a decoy because I don't want him to die. The police are on their way, you know, and they'll run off and give him a little bit of respite.
Slow down a bit because the viewers haven't heard that story. So how did that begin?
What with?
The kid, there were six of them after his backpack.
Oh, the back, no.
Whatever
no.
It was.
What, how, yeah, right, Sean. Oh, I told you about it, yeah.
Tell the viewers.
Right.
From the beginning.
What happened? I was down Harrow Road, right? I was in a cab. A geezer, 19, 20, 21, was running in between the cars. It was like 5:30, 6 in the evening, so it's rush hour, Sean. So he's bobbing and weaving, knocking on windows because there's a gang chasing him, right? So I'm looking, I'm thinking, boy, he looks like he might be in trouble, but he looks like he's got a head start and he might be all right. So I'm monitoring this in the traffic, right? I said, nah, no one's answering his call. No one's even winding down his windows. He's had to divert from that side to the middle road, to the right side, and then go over that bit by Latimer Road, right? They're all running behind him, about 6, 7, 8 kids, right, Sean? So they're running him down. He's getting tired. He's run out of places because he's tried everywhere to get help. Sean, it was bad watching. I'm being serious, Sean. I'm watching. I said, you know what, cab, I'm getting out of here. I said, I'll see you soon. I got out in the middle of the road, Sean. I think I can't phone the police, right? So I'm thinking, is he going to make it? He's running around in circles. But like anything, Sean, it can catch up with you, innit? When it's your time, it could be up and they're all like a pack pack of wolves, the predators. Yeah, write him down, you're on your own. But there must have been some beef, some postcode beef. Worked for the laptop. He had a bag on his shoulder, but it looks like they were after him, recognised him, saw him, and it was on site. That's what he looked like to me, right? So they're running, punching. He tried to have a little go back, but every time he was standing up first, then he went down middle, then he was on the floor. Once you're on the floor, they're not going to give you a chance, Sean. So then I see the bicycle chains. They started to lick him with everything. So when he was trying to fight back, I was looking, I was thinking, hold on, that lick, his hand went. And then it felt like every blow, it looked like the end was near, if you get what I mean, like in a boxing arena. But only the violence was really, really extreme, Sean. I was thinking, every blow was hurting me, right? So I thought, what could you do, Uncle Yami? No one's done nothing, right? Well, as far as we know, no police have come yet, nothing like that. No one's thrown out of their cars. The geezer's running around for the last 10, 15 minutes. All of you are saying, go away, go away. No one wants you to know, Sean. I walked over. I went, think of something, Uncle Yami. So all the kids are beating them, pack of wolves, yeah, violent, pussy. And I was like, yeah. I went, yeah. I just saw one of them, the police are on their way, you know, like that. I drew that card. They went, yeah, blah, blah. So they all started to leg it. So I said, yeah, all right, thanks. Started to run. I was hoping that I saved his life, Sean. I was, Sean. I was thinking, boy, did he or didn't he? I didn't stay around, Sean. Didn't stay around. I just went about my business, went around RTP's around the corner, and I was thinking, boy, did he live or didn't he? But I didn't hear nothing the next day. It might have been that telling moment, that might be, but when I was getting robbed, no one does, but it was just a sign that this was all in the first year I was out, Sean. So I'm trying to say to you.
Were there any situations in prison where you saved people?
Yeah.
Any long stories?
You know, there's a... Sean, you know what makes me laugh, right? I couldn't have been that bad because I saved a lot of people, mate. I got flack for it. I got slaughtered for it. Even the prison staff, even blah, blah, blah. Just leave it, man. I know. But if you looked after me at some stage, I always feel like I got to try and make sure. You know what I mean, Sean? It was my job, wasn't it? Make sure, leave the wing. Tony Argent dropped one on me the other day, right? Sean, it's the funniest one I ever saw, Yam. I said, what was it? He goes, you took the 8th of gear of someone. I said, yeah, I'm going to kill him, yeah. All right, I'm going to cut him. What do you want me to do for that 8th of gear? What cut? Nah, all I want you to do is stripe him that way and stripe him that way. Yeah, I mean, all right, kiss the gear, I'll go and do it. Yeah? Go down there. But I saw the geezer, had looked after me from Manchester and Liverpool, another one, right, Sean? So I was thinking, yeah, but he's looked after me before. I was like, oh, I don't really want to do that. I said, listen, someone's just paid me to kill her. The best thing you can do is leg it, right? I'm saying to you, it's on. I've been paid. Look, I love you, Yami. I'm all right, cool. You're going to get done, right? I'm going to have to do it, yeah? Tony Argent said to me the other day, he goes, Yami, the funny thing is you told him you got the gear and you told him, listen, go down. Go down the block. So they ran down the block, Sean. I went down there, I went back. So I said, nah, they're not here no more. Sean, I went like that. I said, nah, they're not here. I can't do it. What can I do? Oh, yeah, I mean, they're saying you let him know. I said, nah, I didn't let him know. I said, nah, because you know what, Sean? I didn't want nothing to happen, man. You know what I mean? What do you want me to do? I'm not kidding no one over that. You know what I mean? It's only about 100 quid. Gordon Bennett, man. And plus, you looked after me. The times I did think, when I did those little half-hearted ones, when they cut and all that run past Kirkco, oh, God. It's not really fucking Victor Castagueda, is it? Or fucking one of those legendary hitmen, isn't it? Where everybody's dying, is it? My hits. You know what I mean? It's more like, yeah, I've done a job, yeah. No, what's on it? There was a couple of times, obviously, me and you know about, from way back in the day, where I had no choice, Sean. You know what I mean? But... Nah, Tony Argent said to me the other day, he goes, Yami, you're funny, you know. He goes, the weakest thing is you took all the gear off everyone. I said, yeah, I'll do it tomorrow, but no one was there to do it on. I said, but when the cookie crumbles, I said, listen, on the next job, I'll sort it out for you. You know what I mean, Sean? I'm not killing no one over half a gram, Sean. I'm not doing it that way. I'll do it if I was desperate at that time. But if there's a way out of it all, I'll do it a better way. It's all better. It would have been better if I never had no kind of feelings towards a person you're doing it here on. You know what I mean? If they never helped me or was loyal to me or done a little small thing for me, it makes it more difficult for me.
Did you ever see anyone come in who had no prison intelligence whatsoever and upset everybody very fast? Just like a pure train wreck about to happen.
Nah. I was thinking of Lee Cassidy, but Lee Cassidy was a big name. I think he's from Liverpool, you know. I thought he was from North East at first. Lee Cassidy, not to nah, he was known, though. Andy Shack, all of them, they already had, they was known. But, yeah, Coventry's David Bowman. The things they say about him. Yeah, but you could see that David Bowman is really, really serious. But he just doesn't act it. He just doesn't do it until you say it. I'll tell you another one. Irish. The fighter, Thomas Mullen. The king. Another one. But he could fight. But they don't throw their weight around on the wings. Dave Bowman, I never spent a lot of time with Dave Bowman, but his proper staff and all the big names, they rate him very, very highly, Sean. Once you start on him, you're going to the boneyard. You are. You know what I mean? He's thinking, you know what I mean? They're thinking, boy, but he wasn't really on the front page, so to speak, right? And Thomas Mullen, obviously for his boxing skills, Irish, blah, blah. There's a lot of people that believe that, Tony Argent, John Gray, there's a lot of people, Kevin Lane, Warren Slaney, they all believe that it was Thomas Mullen that might have been Phil Curry, rest in peace, the prison officer, we love Phil Curry, right? They all believe that, in fact, it was Thomas Mullen that might have been the greatest of all time for fighting. But you're not really going to win nothing there, Sean. He's proved it in all departments. But between me and you, I struggle to believe when I look at certain people, but I've got so many I look at, Sean, that I don't think that he can be beaten. I don't think that really losing is, you know what I mean, is a feature. You know what I mean? That you think, well, hold on a minute. You know when you know these characters, you're thinking, oh, God. When you're looking at John Gray, when you look at, you're thinking, oh, God, I don't even really want to be there. Slaying it. They've got to be there until the day they die. You know, at that time, when they were living that life, you're thinking, you've got to go in there, you've got to kill them. And you think about Tony. Oh, no, you think about many of those along the way. Sean, I think, you know what? When I lied on my bed, Sean, I thought, you know what? I ain't coming out tomorrow. I just don't want to be there when they get into their little argy-bargy because I know when two killers meet, anything can happen. I don't want to know, mate.
Ian Blink MacDonald said he teamed up with Slaney.
Yeah, no, that's true. Oh, Blink MacDonald, I never got to see him. Do you know what? His name come up because I've got to do a story, Sean, on Florida Phil, the one that robbed the security van.
You're right.
He was a security guard. And drove off with a million way back in the day.
Right.
On his job. Blink MacDonald was with him. I imagine that. I've got to do that story. I might do it today as it goes, but the money never went. According to me, he was a straight guy, but everybody mugged him off. I'm going to do that story later on today.
Did you ever see someone get picked on who didn't look like they were about anything, but surprised everybody with how they reacted?
Sean, some people, right? In those category A's, when they've been violated, one word in the kitchen, I could be in the kitchen and I'd turn around and say, yeah, why? What was you saying? Everyone's listening, but you never answered me back. But everyone's going to book that in the jungle. They're going to think, yeah, but you never answered Yami back. So that means you were scared. Why? It's not necessarily everybody has to answer back because sometimes it's best not to answer and come and do the job the next morning. But you've got the last say. And to that person when they're lying on their bed, they're thinking, oh, he's going to think this of me. Yami got the last word in over me. Oh, I better do something, otherwise my life's not going to be worth living. Blah, 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 blah. But the question that you're asking is that some men don't really talk. The surprising factors and features is when you say something to someone, they just nod their head, they go, okay, good. And the next morning, you get the hot water, the hot fat, but you get stabbed in your head because you thought that he was an easy target. So people were looking to show out on somebody that isn't recognised, somebody that's not in the hierarchy of the criminal category A hierarchy on the front page. Yeah? So you think you could get away with saying certain things. It doesn't always work that way, Sean. And you would come unstuck, which is why I don't underestimate no one. I never did. Because I'm thinking, nah. I went through those things as a kid in jail where I underestimate people and I got a black eye and a fat lip because I went up and talked first and got bang, bang. You learn from those early bits in jail. You think, nah, next time I go to fight anyone, I'm not going to talk it. Let me just go up there first and throw punches or do what I got to do. Otherwise, you'll give me somebody. When you go like, yeah, what you say, and you're giving somebody the opportunity to swing at you first. It's not me, Sean. It's who dares wins, I believe. And if you're serious, you're serious. But I've seen that on many occasions, Sean. There's just major upsets. And people, you know what they do? People in the category A's, when they're doing a long time, they're a bit bitter, some people, because it looks like they're not getting out at certain times. You've got a 25 wreck at that time. A lot of them are out now. But then they turn back, Sean, and they go like, look, when it's a face that gets done, in the morning, go, yeah, but he shouldn't have picked on him, man. He shouldn't have said that to him. He should have, nah, serves him right, man. The man never done nothing to him. He should have left it and did it. And then that gathers momentum, and then your reputation goes downhill. And people, yeah, but he got done, man. He got you. Because people always want in those establishments where they can call them when they lost and they feel violated. What they have to live with in their cell, I lost a row, I got stabbed, blah, blah, blah. They want to see others around them suffer the same fate. So I say, I'm not the only one that got done. He got stabbed too. It didn't happen to you. It could happen to anyone. You know what I mean? But people take things too personal. I'm always of the belief that you've got to learn to take what you did to everybody else when it happens to you. You're not to cry, Sean. You're not to cry. You know what I mean? You know the rules, man.
You said you've seen the unexpected happen a few times. Yeah. Have you got any stories of that?
Way back in the day, right? Unexpected in what way? Big H, way back in the day, they was calling him a grass, but it was the wrong H. They confronted him in the gym. They're saying, yeah, but they got the wrong geezer. H took off, there was some argument with two others. H knocks them both out in the gym. They apologised later on. They said, nah, we got the wrong H, it weren't you. H came back later on. They invited him over for a drink. When they invited him over for a drink, Sean, they threw a big bucket of hot fat over him. He ran to the shower, put a cold water on, run back onto the wing. They all bang their doors up.
All because he stood up for himself.
He stood up for himself. But the biggest upset I think I ever saw, Sean, was a northeast lad. He's only about my weight. He's about 9.5 stone. I think I was in Loudon Grange at the time. I think his name was Stedman. One of my sparring partners, robbing partners, was talking to him a bit rough. So I'm watching. I'm thinking, this little Geordie's got a funny eye. The Geordie geezer, right? So I'm thinking, this geezer ain't easy, you know, Sean. I'm thinking, yeah, he doesn't. So my friend was putting it on him. Everyone was smoking gear at that time, right? So he's gone. Because in Loudon, you can eat at the desk when you go for dinner, right? There's little chairs and tables, right? He's got upset. Who are you talking to? Excuse me. So I'm looking, I'm thinking, no, you're unstuck there. He just went bang, bang, bang. Eye black, lip fat, can't even see out your eye. Got down the block. He beat you up. But yet you got history for knocking everyone out. He's only 9 stone. Sean? He comes back to my cell afterwards. My friend ain't never come back up again. Ripped me a letter. He says, no, yeah, I felt embarrassed and shame. Sorry I didn't come back up. Oh, don't worry about it, Connor. But the little Geordie guy came into my cell. He said, yeah, I mean, sorry I had to do that, but I never liked the way he was talking to me. Okay. I knew that it was that kind of thing with him. I would have been able, because I'm not really on a bully boy thing. I'm more than a thing, yeah? Well, you say, like, I'm seeing you because you're a soldier as well. So I'm thinking, nah, you're game. You prove it, you're game in certain situations.
You knew before just from looking in his
looking
eyes.
But my friend is more, hey, your chest too big. You know what I mean? You're thinking that you're the kid. No. I believe I could beat you, but it don't really, that's not what the game we're playing, though. When you take off the top, it all looks big and muscly. And I think, wow, look at the size of him for the people that, you know, prison's a funny thing, Sean. You know what I mean? When you get a left and a right and all that, the myths and legend things can be put to rest like that. And you're only one or two right hand away from game over.
I saw.
I was here. Yeah, but you're talking that he was the greatest and he done him, but I saw him and he got done. And he didn't even fight back. I said, yeah, I know.
Where I was, there was a skinny kid that used to get picked on periodically by a big guy who would come in and not know the story. And he would just knock them out so fast, they'd shit themselves on the spot.
Sure.
And then the gang leader come out and make the guy, when he woke up, clean his shit out and roll up and get gone.
It's mad, isn't it, Sean?
Yeah.
There was a geezer called Thomas O'Rourke, right? He was from Brixton. He escaped from Brixton prison, right? There's rumours that he was having an affair with a probation officer. He went to Ireland, and he was one of my boys from way back in the day. I don't know how true those other little bits were, but there was a story that he got over the wall at Brixton prison, right? And he's little and small. He's only about 9.5 stone, but he's for 100 punches a minute. But he couldn't read or write, Sean. He's dyslexic. So in the mornings, he don't really talk to no one. He says, yummy. I said, yeah. He goes, yummy, help me fill out this form and that form. So I'm looking at him. It's a bit temperamental, you know what I mean, Sean? I'm looking at him. He goes, yummy, but what does that mean and that mean? I said to him, look, Thomas, look, it means that and all that. Right? Do all that and all that. Because he won't go and ask anyone. Because he'll get frustrated over not being able to make applications and be able to communicate and engage with staff and all that. So he's thinking, I'm not going to ask him. I'm not going to ask that one there. Who do I go to? I've got Yami. I'll go there. Yami will do it for me. But I could read him. He was involved, allegedly, in the Parkhurst riots, right? Not the riots, but there were some disturbances. I don't know, but I know that he was there and they beat him up there afterwards. It's that famous story in Parkhurst where that Mr. Roper went to court, ended up in a wheelchair and all that. They mashed him up, but they were taking photographs of people's walls, like doing, like, you know, your LBBs in the morning, Sean, you know, like where you'd come on induction wing in Parkhurst, right? It was A-wing, I think, at the time, right, Sean? You go in and you're doing cell by cell to check pictures, escape routes, blah, 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 blah. So he goes back, he goes into a couple of cells, right? A few names there at that time. Can't really call because everybody got not guilty. Right, Sean. So he goes in. He goes, those pictures shouldn't be there because you've got to be able to see the back wall so you're not escaping. He rips them all off. Your kids, your son's mother, your mum, your auntie, rips them all off. Yeah. Put them up on another board. Don't do all that. But you're talking to certain men that really take violation really, really hard, right? So they wait. Yeah, you violated me. You know what, Aslot? We're going to get you tonight. We're going to come out and we're going to mash all of you up. Yeah, which you can do. The only thing is, afterwards, you might not get away with it. The likelihood is you're not going to get away with it because they got terrible beatings after that. So they went down, right? Association came, allegedly, Sean. They came out and took them all. I took the staff on duty, mashed them all up, got that little dog, the one that was picking off the photos on the door, right? Locked off, 3-4 hours, barricade. Everything's off, Sean.
If you're looking for a gift, my new book, Sit Downs with Gangsters, is available worldwide on Amazon. We've interviewed over 1,000 people now, and we selected 10 of the hardest hitting stories to go in this book. Each chapter features the story of one of our podcast guests. Those stories are Shane Taylor, Knife Maniac's Redemption, John Elite, Mafia Hitman for the Gambino crime family, Joey Barnett, 35 years in UK prison, Ian Blink MacDonald, £6 million bank robber, Chet Sandu, Asian smuggler in Spanish Supermax, John Lawson, the hit team commander, David Macmillan, international smugglers, Thai death row prison escape, John Abbott, San Quentin prison shootouts and escape, Michael Francis, Colombo crime family capo portrayed in Goodfellas, and Wildman, English enforcer in Arizona prison. Link in description box on YouTube, available worldwide on Amazon. Also, my next book, Untouchable Jimmy Savile, is getting published in December 2023. So check that out as well. It will be available worldwide on Amazon. Thank you for listening. Cheers.
Imagine that. But when it all died down, go back to cells, Mufti, Shields, come and shh. They know who you are. You are. Bring it down the block. Everybody could hear nothing but screams in those blocks coming into the cell. It hurts, Sean. Some of those beatings, right? Everybody ends up in court. They get not guilty, right? Because it wasn't those ones. But he ends up, one of the prison staff ends up in a wheelchair. Turns up in the Isle of Wight, in a wheelchair, Sean.
Wheelchair, yeah, they done it. Yeah.
What about what you done? Because I know you, and you was always like that. You're 9 stone wet, with a moustache, and you're standing up with those evil dark eyes. You know, you remind me of, Sean, you know, in the Green Mile, one of those prison officers that just want to start, and he's so, you know, you can lock him out, right? And he's looking in your eyes, right, Sean, and he's going, hey, listen. And I'm thinking, oh, you're such a pussy, old boy. You don't even know you're doing that. You've got all the army behind you and all that, but you're doing all that, right, Sean? And you're looking, but he's fixing up his face. Look what happened to him in the end. Now, I mean, Sean, I remember looking at him one day. I was thinking, one day, if I could just get him, but I didn't need to. Because in the end, you was the master of your own downfall. Yeah.
So in an environment where anything can happen, you could pick on someone and there could be lethal consequences. Yeah. Why do men want to assert themselves over other men in that environment?
Good question. Look, there's a hierarchy. Depending on your status in the criminal fraternity, the hierarchy on the streets, affiliated to certain gangs and non-criminal gangs in folklore that go down in history from areas, knowing this one and that one, executed this, executed that, you get life for those kind of crimes where there's big names involved in the gangland, gangsterism, lifestyle. Everybody hears about you before you turn up. Because your name has been getting called for years and years and years. So you're thinking, I'm him, I'm Yami, I'm Tony, I'm John, I'm Kev. You know what I mean? You just go to them, so you're thinking, yeah, that's me. Yeah, I'm a hitman. I killed that. Yeah, what? Not that they're saying it, but that's what your crimes are alleged to be, right? So there, Sean, what happens? People go, yeah, that's my man. So they want to get to know you. So you become a little bit more untouchable than the rest of. But don't worry, those guys knows that you'll be challenged at some stage. But also, the best of the rest, when you're in there, like, certain men, most men will take certain talk of the big dons. They say, listen, leave that one today. You got beef with Yami, so drop that out, right? I'm going to get you back on another thing. We'll sort that out. Yeah, all right, I'll leave it. I don't like Yami, but you know what I mean? I'll leave that because it's a little bit low level, small. It's only owes this and that. You know what I mean, Sean? There's levels to this thing. So I might be bad, reckless, chaotic, a madman. But when people, I'm doing these things to, they're looking at the bigger picture. I don't mean they're not harder than me or badder. What it means is they're doing the rest of it, but I can't make a move on Yemen because if I do that, that bit might come from there and that bit might come from there. No, no, I was really looking at it that way. I was thinking if you come to me anyway, but it's how they look at it. You know what I mean? People got to be, certain people, most people come to prison and they're on their own, Sean. And in the jungle, they're not really doing the maths institutionally. They're saying, listen, I am what I am. If you want to have a row and all that, we'll go outside and have it. But that's not enough to keep you safe in the long-term environment, Sean. It's not enough. You're going to need certain skills. A lot of people put up with my shit because they knew, they thought, yeah, but he's got that bit blocked there. That means if I go there, he'll get them locked down on that bit. There's a lot of features that go with the jungle, so to speak.
So you're saying in this jungle, your reputation morphs into your identity.
because the intelligent ones, the ones that are reading between the lines, when you live a life like mine, yeah, I was no good, Sean. So we'll put that to the side. But the rest of those, I met many hard men that could do the big names, but wouldn't come out and do it because of the status and the comebacks and the power of being able to send someone around there to murder your whole family and all that. That's the reality. They've got the skills to do that. A lot of prisoners go in there, they're one-man crime waves, crime, a few boxes of 30 kilo of brown, had a fight down there, hard in their own areas, known down this bit there, but you're not known in gangland culture. It's a very small world, you know. I never realised, when I came out, I realised that he knows him over London, he knows him over Bed, he knows him, but I didn't know that when I was in jail. Everybody seems to have joined dots at some stage during their criminal careers. Yeah, I know him because he knows him. He knows him and I know him. And I know, it's too easy, Sean. And they say, no, I'll drop that one out. You know what I mean? Because people got their own, they're thinking, nah, I won't go. Nah, because I know it. You know what I mean? That's the way it works, Sean.
Even with the big ones then, who could wipe your entire family.
Wipe you all out.
Is there the odd loose cannon who just has to go up against them because they're a big one? And if I can take this big one down, I'm going to become a big one. Do you see any of that?
Well, many have tried, Sean, but they're not here to tell us how, are they? I mean, if you look at Essex, I mean, you know, you look at certain things and you look at over a long period of time. Sean, it is the easiest thing in the world to find someone. If you haven't got the resources, you can have all the money in the world. If you haven't got, remember Scarface with Kaiser Soze?
Oh, yeah.
No, Kaiser Soze was the other one, Usual Suspects.
Usual Suspects.
But I like that. That was there. Yeah. That reminds me of someone else. Oh, but Sean, in Scarface with my man, it's as simple as that.
What was his name? Soze.
Yeah, but Scarface has got the balls. He'd be a bit like me. I'll get the machine gun. I'll go up there. I'll spray the whole lot. But when it's organised, when they're going to bring the troopers in, when they're going to catch you sleeping, when they're going to catch you thinking, where there's no way out for you, you haven't got the resources, you've got the balls to do it on your own. Those guys have got enough there to shut you down for good.
So the big ones are kind of like a brand.
It's a brand and
they can't risk the brand name going one-to-one, but they've got the soldiers who'll just wipe anyone.
But because it's organised.
Yeah.
Because they say, listen, don't worry about all that. He run off his mouth. He ran away with that. He called me this, called me that. But listen, you won't be getting away with that. And that's why there's so many bodies that have never been found and things like that. Because you got away with what you thought you got away with. But in reality, Sean, we get rid of you. No dead man gets to tell the tales.
So the big ones then, because they're so formidable, if there's two rival big ones, for example, in the same prison, Is there street beef squash because just so they can get along?
No, it's a good question, Sean. Because when I've been around the top front pages of true crime history, and I'm on all sides, and everyone wants me on their team, so I would look, I'll go over there and go, yeah, what, you with him over there? You know what I mean? But you're not going to say nothing to each other. You could be competitors and still say hello every morning. It's not really that kind of thing. The real big dons don't really argue out on the landings and all that, Sean. Go, yeah, all right, cool. But if you make a move in prison on one of those few of those guys that I know, you will not live to tell the tale on the outside world. You will not, Sean. You will definitely be wiped out. They're not taking that kind of violation. Their egos are too big. They don't see it like that. The real big ones, right? Manchester, Liverpool, London, Birmingham, Leeds. They sit in the background, but they won't mix in. They'll say hello. They'll have relationships with me. Yummy, come here. Listen, that, because reliable, yummy, get the job done. Da-da-da-da. I'll keep with yummy. I love him. He loves me. The most important thing to those guys was loyalty and love. And if they know that you'll die for them, and they know that, that's the most important thing. They got all the money in the world. They could dictate everything they needed to do in those places. They don't feel the need to do it. They don't really want to be in prison, Sean. They weren't meant to get caught. They just want to get back out. But many over the years, it might seem like you got away with things in prison. 10, 15, 20 years later, It don't matter. Certain men doctors. Me personally, I've got loads of things. I think, oh, I lost that one. I got fired. I didn't like the way he said that. I'm after him. I'll wait till I see him. I'm not going out for him. You know what I mean? It's not that valued at that much. But certain men, Sean, even if you told them to F off out the window down the block and everybody was listening, later on in life, they won't have it, Sean.
So, obviously, without naming any names, have you seen any big ones fall in prison?
No.
No.
No. Not by lot.
They've managed to maintain.
No. Because if you're talking about the big ones, there's people that will, before they get to you, they won't. Because if you're that big, the most smart ones and the big ones will make sure there's the love. And if you love that, but like, I love loads, and I'll go out there without you giving me anything, I'll say, no, I'm doing that for him. Never liked the way you spoke to him there. Because if you speak to him like that in the dinner queue, right, he pushes in and says, oh, hold on a minute, mate. I was there before. Oh, shut up. I don't know who you are. Don't know who he is. Nah, because when you don't know who someone is, you might think that you can get away with it. But for me, if I'm standing there and I'm a lieutenant and I'm a soldier, I'm thinking, hold on, the big man is expecting me. No, he's not expecting, but he's expecting me. This and I ain't having that. Who are you talking to? You're talking to the general. I think I'm going to kill you. So I mean, Sean? And that gets me up because I'm thinking, boy, you know what I mean? What does he expect? You know, because I was always good with a general. It's like being in the... It's the same thing, Sean, with the soldiers.
What about, though, the challenge from new generations of gangs that have a different moral code and are more lethal? And they perhaps view the old school as targets. Do you?
So when they come down in category, the older lot, right? They got the money. Access, prison officers, bringing in phones, drugs, giving it to the youngsters to put out, blah, blah, blah. So they have a little surrounded team, or majority of the time, the big lot do their bird when they get down from the A's to the B's to the C's. Keep their head down. Don't talk to no one. And people say, yeah, the kids, I'll be, someone like me will be there in the jungle with all the kids, like on the last lap, Sean. So I'll be in there. I'll go, yeah, Mike Manzevi, you know. And then, yeah, I've never heard of him. He heard no one. But they're smart enough, a lot of the kids, to go, yeah. Anyone that can find them and has got the skills to get them back at another time, they still will check themselves, Sean. Most of the time, I think the postcard thing, yeah, we run up, we know where everybody is, it's our age group, it's our war. I had that big, on the last lap after the 13, when I got the 8 and I did all of that, I was in there. Remember that day when all the kids, I had both guns, I had a sword there and a sword there. I went out on the yard in High Point, right? Turned up, a couple of them I robbed back in the day. They was there. They was on the induction wing. It was opposite 3 and it was over 4. So I was thinking, looking through the window every day, I was thinking, I know you ain't seen it for 18, 20 years. You got loads of money. You're on the yard with all the kids, 20 of them, 25. I could look through the window. I could lip read. You'll say, no, I got all the gear. There's a geezer over there called Yami. And yeah, back in the day, and all the kids were going, oh, no, not Uncle Yami. That I've seen him do that and do that. This is the last thing we wanted. I was the wrong person for you to give them the hit to do, because I'd already been there a little period of time and I was in the thick of it with them, and I knew how to manage them. So when he called on them, like, I came out in the yard, right? I had the hat on with the towel around there, and everyone was out there. 100 people in the yard, Sean. The geezer went on out. He looked around. He goes, don't tell me Yami's out here now. They went, yeah, he is. And he looked behind him, held the towel around my with the towel. He said, well, f*** this. All right, Sean. Because they know what it means with me at that time. So when we went in, Sean, right, I said, yeah, all right, I'm going to come for you because you're trying to get me killed. But I was in the wrong with you. I'll leave it because I took liberties. I let you down. But it wasn't in the way that you tell everybody, right? But still, I was wrong, Sean. So I turned up the next day. I waited about 3 days, right? There was a wait, all the pressure was on me out the window. Every month someone turned up from back in the day, Sean, from all the things I ever did, they were all coming at the right on the wrong time. I turned up on the yard one day with a donkey jacket on. And I turned up in the middle of the yard. All the kids was there, East London, North London, Canning Town, Mozart, Lapercroft, Brixton. And you know, it was right, Uncle Yami, the kids. Because I never asked the kids to do nothing for me. A man once said to me, Yami, you're not meant to be doing things for the kids. The kids are meant to be doing things for you. I said, no, I never asked nobody to do nothing for me, right? So that's why the kids love me, right? Because, you know, I'm childish like that. So when I turned up on the yard, surely they was watching the kids, you know, they love all that. Unfortunately, they're not listening to the gospel, the Bible's gospel and all that, the kids. I can't walk around saying, listen, stay away from crime, I've wasted my life. It's not that kind of environment, Sean. The only thing they respect is if you're violent and doing the job properly. So I went on the yard, I called it on with all of them, all the rest of them, and all the kids, they took all the backup that they fought, all the big dons had with the kids. All the kids turned around the other way and didn't want to know, Sean. So I come out smiling on that one day. I said, yo, listen, what are you saying? Ready? They put their heads down. You didn't want to know. You're bigger dons for me. Those are the facts. What happened? There was something happened after that. Well, I think I told you about last time, Sean. One of my little youngsters got cut, right? I loved him, I did. I still love him now. They still come and take me out now and again, the kids, right? From West London. I'm sure I got flu, Sean. So, Sean, he turns up, right? So the movie is what happened, right? Is I come out, I got two swords, right? So I'm looking and I see him. There's a big scrabble. You know what the kids are like? It's eight-handed onto three and everybody's swinging, all the screws are not getting involved. Everybody's fighting everyone. So I'm looking, I think, my boy, boy. I said, little cut here. I said, nah. What's happening there? I got to move. He looks after me, this kid. I said, nah, ain't having a plus. I loved him anyway. I went in there, Sean. I went in there. They're saying, I don't say that, but they're saying that I grabbed, picked up the geezer, because they were stuck in a corner, it looked like, Sean. So they was all, like, it looked like it weren't going nowhere. It looked like a stalemate, but I could see blood on my little young one. And he's strong, he can have a little row. I said, nah, ain't having that. They're saying that I picked up the other geezer from behind. I went, juff, juff, juff. I'm saying I never. They're saying that the first knife bended and that I put it in my pocket and that I pulled out the other one and that all everybody was watching, about 100 people, right? And they're going, the bell went. And they're saying that when the screws were all running, the bell went, that Uncle Yami mingled in like neon. The hitman moved that way. They said, when I saw Yami do that, I said, no, it's a different gravy and all that. Because I walked through, nothing happened. You know what I mean, Sean? Yeah? So, you know, they, unfortunately, they glamorise and glorify in those little moments there. Oh, I saw that bit there. You know what I mean, Sean? Unfortunately, it's the only thing they understood. I didn't want to do it, Sean. So when I came back through, right, afterwards, they were going like that. I was thinking. And then the youngster, one of them, said, you know what, Uncle Yami? He said, I love you, you know. I said, listen, nephew. I said, you is my boy. He goes, Yami, I didn't... Shh. He goes, how did you get... Shh. Yami, I've done 40 years of it all. Ryder, you is my boy. And I love you up to today. It's very hurtful, Sean, when you've got to see people that you love getting attacked. It's very hard, Sean, to do. And me personally, when you've helped me, it makes it more difficult for me. I seem to only get charged up. Anyway, that was the last lap anyway, Sean. But after that, the kids, when they all turned up from back in the day, were putting the stuff out of me. The kids already seen all that. So they think, oh, nah. I go, yeah, listen, it's £1,000 here. There's drugs here, go do him. The kids are going out of that. Until I came out one day, the biggest one, Sean, I liked him though. He's from East London, right? He's only about 29. But he could have a right row, Sean. And I used to take him on the pads. But really, I knew that one day it could come to a head with me, but I wouldn't know what his best hands were and what his favourite shots were. So I'd bring him into the showers like that, right? Go like, yeah, right hook, left hook, uppercut. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But this guy's been strong, mate. He's strong, dark, tall, handsome, big muscles and all that. Been in jail for about 10 years. When his uncle turned up and put the hit out on me, he's phoning across, yeah, we don't want no trouble with Yami, man. It's difficult. And da, 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 da. But they were doing other silly things to try and get me done, Sean. But I'll be on to that. You know what I mean? I'll be in the shower and about 10 of them coming in to make me feel uneasy. But you know, I'm going to think, no, you've come in here to do that to me. So you know, I'm going to get upset over that. So what happened, Sean, is I come out on the, we was all going on the exercise yard, because you got this house block and that house block, you've got to have exercise together. But you know, one of those days I could wake up in the morning and I could be a raving nutter. And I could say, you know what, I'm coming out on the yard tomorrow. You know, today. And I turned up, I walked up to him, right? Because he's the leader of those. I looked at him, looking up at him. I'm thinking, I won't win a row here, I mean. But I'm thinking, I'll kill you, though. I looked at him, I said to him, listen, me and you go in the centre of the yard and have a straightener. He went, nah, Yami, nah. I said, why? He goes, because if you lose, nobody's going to think anything, because they're going to say that you're older than me. So, but if you win and you've got a puncher's chance against me, Yami, if I lose, my career's in tatters. And you and my uncle beef, that is an old man's beef. We're not in there. I said, so why are you trying all the stuff you're trying? He goes, Yami, but I've got to listen to what he says. It's low level between you and him. But blah, blah, blah. I said, everybody's watching. I said, so what are you saying, though, differently? He goes, Yami, we're not really like that. So I mean, he goes, Uncle Yami, we respect you. We rate you. What happened with you and him is wrong. You're in the wrong there. But the kids, we rate you. I think, what a sad state of affairs. Then you got to rate me because I was a Stonewall killer in prison.
So he was protecting his brand. He didn't want to put out risk.
No, because he knows that on certain days, Sean, Yami's a raving lunatic, isn't he? It might be today that I back down, but tomorrow I might come charging out. You know what I mean? It's simple as that. It's the same with human nature everywhere. It depends, but it depends how your mind is. I always believed that if I wouldn't have been on drugs, then I probably would have been the same every day, which is worrying, because I used to have to wait to be clean to be at my best, Sean. Hide away for 5 days and then come out. I'm ready today. It's a bad cycle, Sean.
What was the most extreme violence that went on in...
The most extreme violence, Sean, was the deaths in custody.
Deaths.
The yeast, Wayland, way back in the day, when me, my boy Colin McIntyre, George Constantino, was on the house block next door, I think. A man died, stabbed. It weren't even his argument over yeast that was meant to go to someone else.
How did he insert it himself?
Because someone brought back the yeast and give it to the wrong man from the kitchen. So when he brought that back, he gave it to the wrong person and they kept it. It didn't go to the person it was supposed to. But allegedly, I don't know. Look, the other thing was in
Right. He died over giving the yeast to the wrong person.
He died one stab, Sean. The other thing was in Rye Hill, Dovegate, there was a murder with a guy from Birmingham, right? And couple of stabs as well, but that guy that got convicted and got life over that with the millenniums, right? Big case, was with me in the Cat A's, he's now dead. Rest in peace.
What was it over?
Rest in peace, Ibrahim. I don't know, but it was a mix up. But these, it's only one stab, Sean. Everyone is only one stab away from dying, man. And it don't really matter. You can get hundreds of stabs. I've had hundreds of stabs.
For the young people watching this, Yami, you think it's all PlayStations and gourmet food. What do you say to them?
What I say is, don't get wrapped up in because you've got a parcel of drugs. Like, a lot of dealers... No, the majority of dealers know how to play the system with people that smoke who they're making the money off. They treat them with respect. All right, you didn't pay me this week. Cool. That's not the be all and end all. Some get on a power trip. They go, yeah, we got this, yeah, we got the food. Yeah, what my man ever paid? You're taking weaker targets of people that, you know what I mean? And then you're hurting them to make an example of rear. But the youngsters, fair to say, they only seem to be interested these days in where their postcode wars lie. So if certain people drop in to those jails where they've got 5-6 of their cronies there, and they're running things, getting all the canteen, everything's running smooth, they don't want to leave each other, they want to stay there because they're safe until they go somewhere where they're all alone. And you drop in and there's another gang waiting for you where there's 7-8. He's just dropped in, you know, he's in induction. Yeah, now's the time to get him. This is how it works, Sean. So when they dropped in, right, the key would have been, right, that if you're coming to a hostile environment, if you just, you've been shipped out, moved from another prison to another prison where all your enemies are, some won't come out. Some will go down the block, say, boy, I'm in trouble in this jail, because as soon as I touch it. But there's some of those kids, they turn up, they come out and they get rushed by 9 or 10 men and take their beating and get moved out again. The smart ones will turn up, come out, charging on the yard on the first day and get moved.
You're saying street beef transfers over.
Sure.
In America, whatever race it is, they tell them, if you're, you know,
7th Street, 18th Street,
you guys have to squash the beef and represent the race.
Yes.
But in England, the street beef carries over into the system and you've got the postcode gangs at war with each other in the system.
Yes, but what they do, which wouldn't have happened back in the day, Sean, is when they go in reception, they'll say, what postcode, where are you from? Where's this one from? And a lot of them, back in the day, it wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have happened, right? Because you weren't allowed to call no one's name back in the day, right? Remember back in the day, you couldn't come in induction and go through reception and call. Now they say to you, look, is there any problems? A lot of kids, when they can't face the music, they go, yeah, I've got problems here. They're, no, I can't. He's over there and he's like, I can't go on that house block. And the real real warlords turn up, didn't they? Mm. And take a beating, rough or smooth, outnumbered or not.
Mm.
But what happens is in those jails, Sean, is that they get everybody, you could be in another prison. What them kids like to do, right? They'll be in somewhere, yeah, come down here. We got you locked down here. Come and join in. They're putting a transfer. I'll get shipped out. Gov, can I go there? You know, favours. And then they all join. So they're gang stronger. So they, you know, yeah, they're all in High Point. They're all in Wayland. They're all in the Mount. They're all in that. This all different C cats, right? And all B cat. Yeah, come in, man. We're safe. We got the whole place. But when you've got the power in those jails, like in the category A's, if you're coming, turning up on your own, those that you got beef with or those around you that got beef with your lot, they'll wipe you out straight away. So you're going to carry feelings. So next time you go to another jail and they get shipped out for dealing or a fight or whatever, and they turn up, you lot are running up on him straight away. It's the way they work, Sean.
So does that end up then with one postcode runs one prison over here and another postcode runs another prison and over here? And that's how it's structured now.
That's how it's structured, but it can all fall apart, can't it? Because you always get the loose cannons that fall out in one of those jails, rob this, fall out with your own mates, you was nicked on a visit, you got nicked with a phone, you got moved. All right, you're not telling us anything. Let's send him down there.
Mm.
They know. Well, we'll send him there, all his enemies are there.
And have you seen the hierarchy change with the rise of the postcode gangs?
Yep, I have. In certain, in the Cat A's, it's changed now.
In what ways?
Changed because numbers rule all, and more of you. And remember, the old school's long dead and gone, Sean. You can't, it's not, no one's there no more. When you get older, it's not, you're not ruling by anything. You haven't got enough resources there to deal with that. Times have moved on. The gang culture now, we got the drugs, we got the screws, we got this. You're outnumbered, safety in numbers, and we'll just run up on you and take your the repercussions in later years when it happens. But the only thing is, when you do those kind of things, during that time where there's a lot of bodies, a lot of people that got hurt, at some stage, you will have to face the music. You'll worry about, boy, I done him, you know. We six of us done him, and what if they're looking? They might do, they might not do. But either way, the things you've been involved in over a long period of time, even if it's 20 years later, there's still going to be a worry and concern to you. You only know what you've done, innit? I always lie back and I think, boy, that one there could come back to haunt me. That one there could come back to haunt me. That one, but there's not really that many, yummy. But these lot here, you got a lot, because people have lost their lives over people like some of them. You see what I mean?
So you're saying in London right now, the postcode gangs dominate the prison system?
Yeah. But the screws, they will separate to put them on different blocks, like 20 over there, 3 over there, on another bit. But the only thing is, when you go for visits, when you go around the centre, when you're going up to education, when you go, they'll be all at the gates and all that. Sure, it's funny. And they think, that's my man. They don't even know some of the people they're attacking. They said, yeah, but he's affiliated to him. Yeah, that's him. I saw him. She phoned me last night because I got all the phones. Yeah, he's going to education. Yeah, it's all set. It was mad. It's mad, mate.
How violent are these new gangs versus the old school?
The old school, to me, with the young lot, in jail, it looks like cowboys and Indians. With the old lot, if they want to get rid of you, you're out. You know what I mean? Now, like, you're 8, 9, 10-handed, but the reality of everything, whether you're, you've got all those numbers, whether you've got people in that Sean next to you, either way, a smart man will be able to say, we'll get rid of you. We'll see that. I'll pay for that. Some, the old school might just leave it. Those in there now, because some of those kids look at older people and don't really remember Sean. They don't care how many people you allegedly killed or whether you got this bit and that bit and that. They'd be more thinking, how much money you got? We'll rob you too. Remember, the kids are not really feeling all that until they're faced with death themselves and proven in, you know, history in recent 10, 15 years is they don't get a lot of longevity for life, do they? Sean, and you've got to think about the mums and dads, the aunties and blah, 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 joining this one and that one, coming out violence, attacking this one, you killed that one, but when it happens and it's your turn, you've got to die too. And it's very hard. It's very hard, Sean. It's very hard.
If they're not living them, why are they making that decision? Is it the trade-off? They think, right, I might not live, but I can have a lifestyle while I'm alive.
No, what it means, Sean, is that from young, when you're getting groomed, when you got the leaders, what it is, they got the money, the big Merc, a couple of girls, shining out, the watch, the jewellery. Yeah, listen, I'll drop that on you. We'll do all that. This worked for me. You'll be like me one day, man. That's all you got to do is just make sure you fly straight and listen to what I'm saying, because you can manipulate. When you're in front and nobody ain't got nothing, no money, no pocket money, one-parent families coming out, no love, they're not sure about which road, but it's attractive. All the media, the drilling and all that, the rapping and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I can do all that too. You know what I mean? But at the same time, it's really serious out there. Because they're saying, look, I promise you this, you'll be like me one day. Your name will ring in bright lights. You'll get all the money in that. There's no such thing where wealth is gained through illicit or illegitimate gains where you feel that you're going to reign supreme in the end. No such money will come that easy, Sean. And either way, you'd have had to do some dirt along the way for doing that. And as proven with the lifestyle and with the ages, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, you're dying early. In the old days, people weren't dying at that age. So you are sacrificing your young age for going through a lifetime. Yeah, but I had a business, I had to go for what I wanted. What? Wanted what? Material things, the diamonds, the girls, the cars, you know, this glorifying in, you know, true crime history that you was the greatest killer of all time. Either way, as we've seen recently with certain rappers, big rappers with millions of views, getting nicks, drugs, attempted murder, calls on, the haters, it all breathes the same thing, Sean.
So yeah, I mean, is this spiralling out of control or is there a remedy?
They don't care. No, there's no remedy.
There's no remedy.
No, there's no remedy.
The government can't stop it. The cops can't stop it.
People like me, people like, you know, the ones that have lived that life. I realise with a lot of kids out here, they don't listen to a lot of men that have gone to prison. They listen to a lot of men that have gone to prison that were affiliated with their forefathers and their uncles and were all, and they understand bullshit. Kids are cleverer than when we was when we was younger, in the street sense of things, Sean. They're like, oh, he's chatting shit, man. Hey. They're not really, unless you break down what they're really thinking and feeling.
So do you talk to these kids?
I talk to them. And I can
you talk sense into them?
I can talk sense, and I do. And they listen to Uncle Yemi, but Uncle Yemi, man, I'm not really listening, man. I've got my thing and I'm going through. I said, I'm just warning you. I'm just telling you that the outcome, the consequences, what to expect when you go to them places. It's a lonely, lonely place. I never spoke to anyone for years on the phone. It was lonely for me. I was just a fantasize about being in love. I didn't have no one to phone, no family, no love from nowhere, apart from my peers around me. And then when all that goes, Sean, there was nothing left. You think, but hold on, you put your life, you put your whole soul into a life of belonging to something that really, in reality, has got no long legs. Because in the end, you're going to wake up all alone at 50 and 60, and you're going to think, I did 40 years of it, and you're going to think, oh no, I did all that for nothing. I could have done a decent job. I could have looked after my kids. I could have looked after my parents. I could have been a pillar of the community. I could have done this. I could have been an actor. You could have been so many things. But you wanted to take shortcuts to the glory, that was sent out by the role models that were produced in front of you, that when we was younger, that with all the diamonds, with all the road. Yeah, I mean, if you get that, that means you're the greatest. And then you think, yeah, all right, well, I got it. Yeah, you got that. What are you going to get next? It's got no ending to. It's got no longevity, Sean. Once that's gone, someone will try to take that off you. Someone's going to rip you off when you sell. It doesn't really matter, Sean Atwood. In the end, you're going to be a lonely, lonely man, a heartbroken man like Uncle Yami, where you're going to wish that you never did nothing to no one because you really didn't want to.
Have you got through to any of these kids, Yami? It's give you a good feeling in your heart.
Yeah, I will always get a good feeling because I was always taught realistic. When I go down the road, when they stop me, when I'm doing Uncle Yami's dry jokes, when I say to them, listen, the importance of staying in the now and owning your decisions, the extreme violence unnecessary. You could, with some of the things you lot are doing on the streets, go missing for 18, 20, 25 years, like 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. When you do those life sentences, you could learn as much courses and skills in that education department and being in through and be a prison legend and your name's ringing, or you've done it quietly and done really well to get out and keep yourself under the radar. When you come out, the game begins. You've got no life experiences. You were way too young. You don't know about her. You don't know about him. You don't know what it means to go. You haven't done it. So like me, after so long, you're going to have to face these things and being really like kind of brokenhearted by what, because just having finishing the sentence when you do those long sentences, it's not enough, Sean. Because it's not enough. You've been away too long. You're institutional. So you've got to come and, yeah, I know what I'm doing, man. I'll just get a job. And no, yes, go straight. Do your work. Don't get involved in crime. But the reality is, you're still going to face life struggles every day. You're going to bump into James Atwood. I never liked him, you know. I'm going to go there. No, I didn't like the way they said that there. How are you going to process it different to how you did in prison? What about love? What about loss? What about people dying? About you bonding with, you don't bond with no one in there. I had to deal with all those things outside, Sean. Because remember, when you lose people in there, you weren't close to them. But you think, well, I was upset that she died and they died. But when you're out here and you make bondings and alliances, it hurts. The normal things in human nature, human life, it hurts you out here, Sean. I've been brokenhearted over the years, Sean, thinking, boy, I didn't think that bit would affect me like that. Because you wasn't used to it. It's unknown to you. So not only do you have to do that long-term prison sentence just for those unnecessary murders, you have to come out and learn how to live again. And you can't do that. You could think you're the smartest guy or woman in the world. I do the job. I'm straight. I'm not committing crime. But you haven't had the life experiences.
That's so powerful coming from you.
I'm telling you. And it wasn't just as easy as giving up crime, Sean. And I'm still struggling today, big man.
What else has happened since you got out?
I realised that, you know, I missed out on my childhood with all the ladies. And I loved them all dearly. And I've worked, you know, I've got over that. I didn't really understand it before relationships, Sean. And those are other things as well. You don't know how to conduct yourself. In relationships, you're so used to being alone in that cell, self-obsessed, yeah, me. I sometimes go, it's a, yeah, an Uncle Yami. I talk about in the third eye, but it's a prison thing, Sean. It's a prison thing because you're thinking, yeah, the superego and the ego, and I've got a plan for this and I've got a plan for that, and I'm Yami B and all that. But really, outside, it don't really count for nothing at all. Really, I have to cut myself off sometimes, Sean, because I'm saying to myself, yeah, but Yami, look, what does it all mean, right? What it all means is we're never going to find the answers. No one's ever find the answers. There was a man that was dying recently, and when he was about to die, I said, hold on, hold on. I've worked everything out now. I know what to do. I know how to behave. But, Sean, we're all going to be clouded with guilt, things we thought that we could have done better, relationships where we think we was a bit harsh, that I said that I loved you and I didn't. You know what I mean? You've got to deal with all these things that are going on, but there's always people's feelings that are going to be hurt. And some people's feelings, Sean, they ain't been to prison, but their feelings are not really processed better than me and yours. I had a conversation with someone. I met her after a day. The next day, you've done this to me and done. She said, oh, I was good to you. I said, yeah, but you only knew me for 24 hours. Your processing and how people see things is not the way that we all see things with mental health and that, Sean. And that's the reality. And I think, boy, but you can't be quite right because I've never even met you. And you're saying that you love me. I'm thinking, I used to do that in prison. I used to talk to people on the phone when people smile. I think, I love her, you know. But hold on, yeah, I mean, where's the substance in all that? It's romantic and it's, yeah, she's got a nice face. But you don't really know her properly. You don't know the ins and outs. You don't know what happens after the initial this stage and that stage. Do you like them? Are you going to be able to suffer those bits that they, you know, people's human beings. When they say things, I go, yeah, but I'm not carrying feeling over that. Because that's how you feel today. You might not feel like that tomorrow. You work things out as you go along, Sean. And you think that what other people get angry about, I don't really get that angry about. I got slapped in the face recently. What do? I turn the other cheek. It wasn't that important to me. It's not on the prison landing. Someone's emotions were really hurt. I didn't like it the way you said that. Bang. You should have answered my phone call. Slap. I thought, boy. You know what I mean?
You're in a very unique position, Yami, because there's not many people who have lived through the public announcement of their own death. How did that feel?
Sean, it was a complete muggy turnout. I've mentioned it before that I've been to hospital 6 times in the last 15 months, right? Same drug, same feeling, same all-night thing. After a drink, blah, 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 the nervous system playing up, I think I'm about to die, right? Right, so we know I shouldn't be touching things like that, which we're doing the best we can to stay away from that kind of stuff. Now, when that attack happened inside of me, I was up for 2 days. I was in a house not far from here, right? St. Albans, right? That smoking, white stuff, right? Paranoid, heart beating fast, like that, right, Sean? And I thought I weren't going to make it, right? So when I got back, I phoned the ambulance, right? A young lady was with me. Not her fault, Sean. She was with me, but she smokes, got addiction problems, right? We know what that means. She brings me home, and I say, I'm in serious trouble here. The ambulance comes. I get in. I'm unsteady. I give her the phone. I said, why has my nose got a big block today? Sean, I went like that. Pass her the phone. I said, listen, tell them that Uncle Yami is dead. So it's my fault. So they're taking the puppet. And all that, Sean, I go, yeah, I ain't going to make it. I'll be in real, real trouble here. That's what it felt like, Sean. So she's gone straight up on social media in the morning. Said, yeah, Yami just died. But she's out of her box as well.
And then the reaction happened.
And then I come back out of hospital after sleeping and looked up there, saw you, saw the whole world. I never realised. I was so happy to see everybody love me. I don't think it was one bad. Boy, I know, but the only thing is, sure, next time I die, no one's going to believe it. So I've had it. But that was the biggest send-off that I've ever seen in history.
But to read what people were saying about you, Sean, was that surreal?
Sean, it was deep, wasn't it? I never realised there was that much love for me. Sean, there was crying. I felt so ashamed.
You were crying?
No, I was crying because I was thinking, I never realised that everybody loved me like that. Sean, I went like that. Look, when I got back in, some people rang me. They goes, Yami. Because I won't answer the phone. After sleeping in the hospital, coming back out, I think, oh no. I'm on social media, Sean, looking at all YouTube, Facebook. Yeah, it's a bit. My granddaughter's name's mentioned. My fault again, right? So, seeing all of you like, nah, it's definitely true. Yami's gone. Nah, it was his granddaughter. She would know, but nobody clarified anything, right? It was, sure, it's funny, Sean, but it's not that funny. So, I answered everybody's calls. He goes, oh, no, I know what happened, Yami. I know what happened. I said, I know what happened as well. So when I went up there with the hood up. I said, yeah, about 20,000 in the room. And basically, like, to be honest, Sean, without my box, so it was instigated by me because I didn't think I was going to make it. they was all having a go at you, but really you could only do what you had to do because you're getting it from that one and that one. And poor old Sean's going, well, this is yummy. You can't blame social media because that's what I told everyone.
There were some little weird videos of funeral processions and coffins.
You see the Chinese one and the African
Indian
one?
Indian ones, the Chinese ones.
I didn't like the pictures they put up of me, though, Sean. I thought I looked ugly in those. I was really deeply unhappy. I got to be honest, Sean.
Like, what is going on? This is like...
And you know what they're saying? They spoke to me. I spoke to Yami. No, this is the last video. It's definitely it. Wow. Sean, Quincy had to go up there, right? He said, listen, because they're like, they're, everyone, can you imagine all them lot, Tony, John Gray, all of them lot were crying their eyes out, Sean. See what I caused? I never wanted to come up there again. Tony went and said, listen, mate, you've done my effing head in. When he heard my voice, you could feel the, Sean, it was deep, you know.
It is a unique perspective to see that unfold.
It's, yeah, but the only still thing, alive. The only thing is that no one's ever, but at least I know what everyone thought about me anyway.
Yeah.
So when I do go, at least I know
that.
The majority.
It's give you some comfort.
Give me some comfort. There was a lot of love, but a lot of people don't want me to go that way, sure.
No.
You know what I mean? If I'm going to die, let it be because there was no choice or not self-inflicted. You know what I mean? But yeah. I've got so much love for the people that, you know what I mean? It heartens me. And like you once said to me, Yami, the only person that can't see that he's in front is you, is that you, your own worst enemy, that you just beat yourself up over when really you got the skills to utilise. You told me that from day one, Sean.
If you serve 40 years, you deserve another 40 years, at least.
Yeah, but Sean, it was a waste of time. And like for me, I lie there, no matter what I'm doing now, when we look at it, it's a bit of success since I last seen you. And I think, Sean, that either way, I think to myself, you know what, Yami? What a complete waste of time. You did everything just for a sense of belonging and what they told you and the environment, the products and family and children's home. All right, yeah, it's quite a sad story, but in reality, you had all the answers a long time ago. You knew what it felt like being a victim. You knew what you knew that no matter what, but you know what it was, Sean? I didn't want to live. I didn't really care. So, you know, you waste all that time and you wake up and years are ticking by now and you think, oh, God, I could have been on holiday. I could have grown up. I could have helped. You know what I mean? There's so many different ways of doing this life without being involved in true crime and being a baddie and doing bad things to people and ruining. You know what I mean? You could have done all these good things and been, you know, had the peace of mind in the soul. But I always believe, and the one saying I always believe is, forgive them, Lord. They know not what they do. If you knew what you was doing, then I believe that you was accountable. I knew what I was doing in later life, but I still didn't care. But at the beginning of the time, I never understood it, Sean. It's not like now. They've got loads of opportunities now to get help. There's a lot of projects and a lot of community things that where you can go on because you've got social media and all that. When we was kids, we never had none of that, Sean. They got loads of help now. People you can ring, yeah, can you help me? I'm feeling like this. And you never had all those things when we was younger, just going in. Remember, in the old days, it was punishment and not rehabilitation in the prison system. Remember, punishment was the army majors. Oi, shut up. Now it's, yeah, go on, yeah, cool. Yeah, go on, do what you're doing, innit? And then switch on you later on and snake you out after. It's slowly, it's different now. It's not.
What about this wonderful community you've built on YouTube? Your followers, your subscribers. I watch your video, you put these videos out and how gripped they are and just how supportive they are of you. Does that give you something that perhaps you were missing? You've got the love from these people?
No, but it's a fair point, Sean, but if you look at the category A, that if I was the darling of the category A system, where I did everything wrong, but everybody took me back and gave me everything I wanted, then that's when I'm a criminal. So in YouTube and social media, it's a bit institutional as well, so it's going to suit me. Because my character and the way that, you know, I drop clangers with my honesty sometimes, I make, but I don't really care, Sean. But I'm a crowd pleaser, Sean. And you remember, I love people. So you remember, I'm going to swarm in where everybody is. So I will be with all the sufferers. So it's not nothing changed from the prison thing. It's just that I don't commit crime no more. So I'll dive in where the love is and where I've got to give them, where people and engage. And that's where the love comes from. Like, fault me, kill me, slag me off. It don't really matter to me, Sean, because I've been in the desert all alone since I was little. It's not going to really matter to me what a few trolls and that say, is it?
But what about the spirit of your followers? Does that spirit inspire you?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Because the sufferers, and they think, because there's a lot of resonating with certain parts of my story, with how I am, where I come across. And I do it different to everybody else, Sean. It's like, you know, with me, it was always that way. There will always be a different dimension. I will do it my way, and I've always done it my way, and I'll always be not perfect. I never want it to be. I'll dive in there with all the sufferers. I'll do the best I can. They'll be playing cat and mouse, some of them, the haters. He said this and he said, I don't really care what anything said. I don't really care. The main thing is I never committed another crime again or harmed another human being apart from myself. And at the end of the day, I made amends, and I found a love in the community and on the outside without doing a crime. So hold on a minute, that was victory in itself. So I didn't have to be in prison to be a so-called legend and a prison legend, and yeah, we had to call Yami for this and Yami knew that and knew that. I'm now outside, I'm doing it, but with no consequences, because I haven't done anything wrong, Sean.
That's a beautiful thing.
That's what I'm saying.
Free Kevin Lane.
Yeah, it's a sad state of affairs. I've done a couple of videos lately. Obviously, I know the real reason why he got recalled. But in reality, it's a man who wears his heart on his sleeve, Sean. And it's very difficult when you're going on social media and you're appearing on this show and that show. People are always going to hold what you say. You're not going to be everybody's cup of tea. Sometimes coffee, sometimes tea. But, you know, the one thing, you know, that we know what happened outside the Young Vic Theatre with me when I got recalled for the that thing when I was at the theatre, Sean, on the first show, we knew that I got recalled at Carnival. We knew that you don't have to commit a crime when you're on MAPA to get recalled. And they will be watching, and all it takes, and the Achilles heels will obviously be the emotional stuff. There'll be certain things, and did he or didn't he or blah, blah, probably didn't, or he did, or they've misconstrued it. They'll play it around this way and that way. Just basically people using his license conditions against him because they know how it works when he's doing well, especially certain people that you've had relationships with before. They want to try and get you back in whatever way. You know what I mean? I wasn't there. I don't know really what happened, but I know one thing. He will be suffering badly in there, because when you're out here talking about not going back, prison, what he did to me, and then you end up back in there, there's no worse feeling in the world, Sean, all right?
R.I.P. Kieran Proverbs as well. People started contacting me saying Kieran had passed, and because of what happened with you, I didn't say anything. This is the first time I've said something. Yeah, it's been going for weeks now. Yeah, so yeah. Did you ever come across Kieran in the system?
No, I didn't. I think no. They're saying that I did, but I went on the landings. But I can't remember, Sean, but the reality is Proverbs. I was shocked when I heard that, because who told me I got free? My boy Ratty and someone else, they're close to him, man. I said, but I never heard that. He weren't young, he was young. He's younger than me. And then we're hearing what it was, but he's a good geezer, man. I watch him, he's really, truly honest. I was very upset, Sean. And that was another, I said, what? I did, because they sent me the pictures, the photos of him. I was thinking, I know him, didn't I? But you know me, I'm a bit slow sometimes, Sean. And then I saw it, rest in peace, Proverbs. I'm thinking, oh, and ain't that the one that appeared on Sean's? And that's what I mentioned. I said, Sean, is my man dead?
Such a good spirit, such a positive person.
I know.
It's so sad. We interviewed him twice.
And, God, Sean, I thought
he was really
so.
Yeah. Trying to do the right things in life.
Yeah,
it's heartbreaking.
Sean is very, very. He's strong as well. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
There to go, Sean.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's promise to no one. That's why you can only do the best you can. Mm-hmm. All I did is that thing I made to God when I was in intensive care, when I died and I was paralyzed. I said, the one thing I'm never going to do again is commit crime. He said, what about drugs and demons? I said, I failed that since I've been out, Sean. But the reality and the progress, of not committing another crime against another human being. I was victorious there, Sean. Because you remember the longest time apart from these 4 years I've been out was 5 months.
Yeah, well done, man.
So you got to look at it. We got to look at it. It's not a lot for me. I it takes a lot to give me a pat on the back. I should be further in front now, really. But we're getting to the nitty-gritty stage
still
now.
Got the sparkle in your eye, brother.
Oh, and I think that with you, Sean, I think that if you're going to put your money on anyone, I think you put it on me, as long as I'm alive.
What would you like to say in conclusion to the viewers who've watched this for the last 2 hours?
Well, for 2 hours, Sean, cool, but that was quick. That means it's a good one, then. James was my boy, boy. James, when he comes to get me the first, I never liked the way they... anyway, yeah, James was my boy, innit? From creation, Sean. You know what I mean? And what's his name again?
Joe.
Yeah. They've been for a long time. It's funny, isn't it, Sean?
All the original crew.
Yeah, all the original. Yes, I mean, yeah. Sean, I do the same thing. I keep them proven and tested. Yeah. The loyalists, the real ones, they see me and you in the front seat, but really, you're nothing without the backroom staff, my
boy. Exactly. Totally.
Which is why how we do
Shout
it.
Shout out to Underground Films.
But yeah, Sean, great to be again, and I look to come up and do some of those motivational talks, and we'll do those subjects. We'll do another show soon with the Madeleine McCann thing.
Yeah.
I want to do one part on that, Sean. You didn't know that
big subject right now.
I was really upset. I loved her. I did. Mm-hmm. But Uncle Yami's got his theories. Remember, I've done a lot of research now. The longer I've been out, I get to know more things. Certain things. But no, you never asked me. But I do believe that the parents, Katie, or the other one, whatever her name was, and him, I don't believe they were responsible. I think they were responsible for neglect, but they weren't responsible for her death, Sean. Yeah. You know, many people say, yeah, Yami, you don't know, you ain't watched this, and what's the body language. Body language, to me, Sean, means that even if you've got a tinge of guilt in that body language, it might not be the thing that you're all looking for. Mm-hmm. It might be that I left you all alone and I was guilty for that. You know what I mean? So you could show up that you're not looking quite right and all that. People got to get these tests right sometimes. If there's an inkling, but it might not mean the crime itself of murder and blah, 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 Sean.
Yeah, Christian Bruckner's on trial right now in Germany for unrelated things.
Yeah, but it was him. Yeah.
I just read a book about him. And the things he did, he just did not discriminate. Just all ages, he'd show up like serial killer mask in the middle of the night in your bedroom. And really and sick character.
Yeah, and listen, we'll save that for another show.
All right,
yeah,
sure.
All right, my boy, Sean.
We always finish with a nice big hug.
Yeah, we do, Sean.
Please support Yami. Go to Yami's channel, subscribe, support what he's doing. Right. Love you, brother. Right. Well done. Thank you, man.
James, you're right.
Fantastic.
No, you're right. I kill you! A knife and a caution, all that, like. Yeah! And he's looking at me, and we went white, and then he's gone, like.
What is it about a tough guy that fascinates us?
Imagine I'm hearing that, I'm thinking, I'm not going down today. If I go down today, I'm dead.
We're bringing you the very best of our interviews with Britain's hardest men.
They made the mistake of bringing billy clubs, iron bars and knives to a gunfight.
No rules fighter bash, Stephen the Devil French, and my best friend, Wild Man. Over 2 hours of terrifying tales of punch-ups, stabbings.
That's what happens in that world. You leave people long enough, they get enough rope chain themselves.
Attempted murders and exceptional all-round hardness. This film is available to rent or own on Amazon or Vimeo. Plus, the first 30 customers to order this film get a 30% discount on any Vimeo order. Click the link below to see if you're one of the lucky ones. This film will drop your jaw like a punch from the hard men we talked to. So why not order your copy today?